But our main text will be taken today from Exodus chapter number 16, asking the question this morning, are you thankful for the gift? Now, this is an appropriate time to do that because this has been a week when I'm sure everybody probably got some gift of some kind or the other, and I'm grateful for that, but I'm glad Christmas is behind us, and you probably are too. All the crowds and the hustle and the bustle, and I know the folks work at the post office and UPS are glad that it's over. But during that time, you had to spend a lot of time trying to determine what it was that you wanted to buy that special person in your life. You know, it's kind of hard to buy for people anymore because most everybody's got anything they need. And literally, if we end up getting them something, it's just to get them something in order that we might say that we got them something. And yet today, most of us have been so blessed. Really, we don't need anything, but it's a great gesture. And the person that helps the most is the person, I believe, that gives it. I'm grateful today that God says that He loves a cheerful giver. He says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And truly today we see the importance of that as we try to determine what to give according to Christmas and give the gift that would be one pleasing. Some folks kind of advertise the gift that keeps on giving. Well, I know one that kind of keeps on giving, and I'm going to help you out this morning and tell you which gift you ought to mark off your list forever and never use it again. I was reading an article the other day, and I found out this is the most hated, the most detested, the most disgusting, and the most dreaded gift that anybody ever gets at the time of Christmas. According to numerous surveys, this gift stands out as being that. It's not a new tie. Most people might think that. It's not a pair of bedroom slippers or a package of socks or set of sheets or hand-knitted sweater, nor is it a picture of you. Thank goodness for that. But again, the most dreaded gift of the Christmas season, and I agree with this, but I think we've kind of gotten away from it. I think somebody got the idea a long time ago, but they say the most dreaded gift of the Christmas season is the fruitcake. I remember years ago, people used to give fruitcakes all the time. Now, when I'm talking about that, I'm referring to that little brick, that hard brick cake that they give you that has that candied stuff in it and as hard as a brick. And, you know, it's just come to be true that most people that admitted it just hate it. Now, fortunately, there are some people that like it. And if you do, please don't be offended by this. But there's some people that like it. But most people really hate to open it up and get a fruitcake. I remember years ago when I started out in the ministry, it was almost inevitable. Every year we'd get a fruitcake. And so maybe they thought that was appropriate, a fruitcake for a fruitcake. I don't know. But anyway, I read where it said people literally just break out in a cold sweat when they open it up and there's a fruitcake inside. But you know what they do? They get it and they look at the person that gave it and they smile big. And they say, that's just what I wanted. I just want you to know how much I appreciate that gift. I hope you confess later, but still, you're trying to show gratitude and thanksgiving to the person that gave you the gift. Somebody said, well, fruitcakes are good for some things. Yeah, they are. Some folks hide them in the closet, and some of them use them to scotch the car tires. Some of them use them as doorstops. They throw them at stray dogs. They place them in the road to slow down speeders in the neighborhood. They throw them in the landfill to be found by archaeologists thousands of years later and wonder what it is. And some really cruel and heartless people rewrap those things and re-gift them to some unexpected person at another time. So Christmas can be ruined for them too. But you know, when Christmas draws near, you know deep down in your heart, that despite the hatred or the fear or the loathing of getting a fruitcake, or maybe it's something else in your life, you're always appreciative of the person that gave it. I think today I don't know of any greater gift than the gifts I got years ago when my children were small. And it was just a piece of paper and color crayons, and maybe if they could write, they could write my name or say something and say Merry Christmas. And those things I held dear. They are not things that I don't even know if I still have all of them. I'm sure my wife has some of them somewhere tucked away. Not anything that maybe I was looking for, but yet something that meant a great deal to me because of the person that gave it and the reason for their giving it. So we find today that we live in a society where, unfortunately, there's still a lot of ungrateful people living in our world today. I remember a time, and I've shared this before, but a man asked for food. He came to our house. We fixed him a hamburger. I give him one of my hamburgers. That's back when I eat two. And I gave him one of my hamburgers and some chips, and we give him a big glass of tea and give him a whole sleeve of chocolate chip cookies. I mean, those good kind. And yet, I went around, and he was gone real fast. And I went around behind our church, and there he had taken one bite off the hamburger, and he had thrown it all behind the building. He didn't want anything that I had. He wanted something that he wanted. He wanted money, probably, that he could buy alcohol or drugs. But you know, today, people ought to receive gifts graciously, and they ought to be thankful for it. Have you ever seen somebody get a gift and them refuse it? Well, I have, and unfortunately, that's a bad thing. I don't care what anybody gives me. I will receive it graciously and gladly because I appreciate the thought that goes behind it. Have you ever seen somebody make a scene about they didn't get the gift they wanted? I've seen that more so probably in little children's lives. They sometimes don't understand, but they have their mind set on a certain thing, and if they don't get it, they're very upset about it. But what they need to understand, they need to be grateful for what they have and what somebody's able to give them. I've seen it happen. It's a tragic moment. It's a moment to witness. It breaks your heart. It's amazing that some people today can be so cruel and so mean and so self-centered. Today, to even say something to somebody about something that they give. But I want to get to the passage today. That was just all just kind of an introduction. But today I want to share with you a people, the nation of Israel, that I believe had a great deal of ingratitude in their heart. They were full of pride, arrogance, and foolishness. And it's not easy to think about Israel rejecting the gift that God gave them, but they did. And they rejected what God was doing for them, rather not understanding exactly what God wanted to do. And I want to consider Israel today, and I want to consider the rejection of God's gift to them. And I want the people to see today that they were not satisfied with what God gave them. And I'm going to be honest with you today, laying all joking aside, and we've kind of been a little funny with the fruitcake, but I can tell you this today, it's very serious business to be ungrateful for the gift that God has given to you and I. Yet we find the nation of Israel found themselves in that position, and I want to share with you this morning, and I'm just not for sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire passage, I'll read the verses as we go through them. But I want you to see, first of all, there. Consider what Israel needed. I want you to look with me in verse number 1 of chapter 16. The Bible said they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We sat down by flesh pots, and we did eat bread to be full, for ye had brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today. And Lord, I'm grateful. I'm thankful today for a good Christmas. Lord, I'm grateful today that we had plenty to eat. Lord, I'm grateful today that you supplied every need that we've ever had or ever needed. And Lord, you promised that in the Word of God, that you'd promise you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. But Lord, today, help us today to be a grateful people. Help us to be a thankful people. I pray today that you might guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want you to consider with me what they needed. First of all, there are several things they needed, but they are in the wilderness, and they needed food, they needed water, they needed shelter, and they needed divine guidance from God. Now, when they come here, they have these three basic needs. And by the way, that's the basic needs of every one of us today is food, water, and shelter. And in this passage, they had shelter. And it's not mentioned, but I'm sure the water was provided for them, and they did have that. But the Bible said in verse 3, Israel was upset because they had no food. Now again, I know today people get upset when they don't have any food. We all want food, and that's important that we get food. But again, it's important that you trust God to meet your need, and God will give us exactly what we need to make it through. According to most estimates, they say that the nation of Israel contained probably about 2 million people that was making this trek through the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I visualize 2 million people, I see a heap of folks, I see a long line, and I see a great deal of folks that it'd be very difficult for us to provide their needs for. And by the way, they were pilgrims. They had no means of raising crops. They were just passing through. Their livestock could not reproduce fast enough to be sufficient enough for them to kill and eat along the way. They had no means of providing food for themselves. And what they needed more than anything was divine intervention from God. They need God to come on the scene and supply the need. And by the way, today, can I remind you, that's what we need in our society today, is to be more dependent on God in everything we do. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now again, understand, and I'll get to this in a minute, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God has already done some miracles in their life. It's not like they find themselves in the desert and everything had been so in the wilderness and they find that everything had been so bad along the way. They had seen the hand of God. They had seen the work of God and they knew that God was able. And rather than trusting God to meet the need, the Bible says in verse number two, they murmured and complained. They murmured and complained. Friend, I tell you today, if we had to eat what most people eat around the world today, I tell you, we'd be so thankful for collard greens and for spinach and all that other stuff maybe that folks don't like. And that's good stuff, by the way. I'm not saying I don't like it. I do. And the older I get, the more I learn to like it. And I'm grateful for it. But I can tell you, there's people all around the world today that have very little to eat. And yet today, we have the abundance of it. But maybe we don't have exactly what we want. And you know what Israel is? They're a picture of humanity today, exactly the way we are. We have basic needs, but here's the difference in us today. Most of us can go out and get a job and work and provide to buy our needs. Now, don't misunderstand me. I realize God is the source of everything we have. I know God's the one that gives us the job. God's the one that supplies the need. But we're not in the wilderness, okay? We're not traveling through. There's no Publix out there, and there's no places they can go. So literally, they have no means of accomplishing anything, whereas we do have those things. However, we still need to understand that God is the ultimate source of all we get. But you see, humanity, the deeper need is that they can never meet what they want through their own efforts. No matter how hard they tried, they could not produce food. No matter how hard they tried, they could not produce the guidance and direction that they needed. And I think today we live in a society to where we've lost the spiritual bread and water of life. And we become very ungrateful. And I believe that's one reason many people today are getting away from church and getting away from God. It's because they become so ungrateful for what they have. Friend, I'm telling you, we live in the best nation in the world. We live in the greatest place in the world. And we ought to be thankful today for the freedoms we enjoy. And I don't know how much longer we're going to have them, but I tell you, we ought to praise God for them while we can. Yet Israel, like most lost people, many people that are lost today, they have needs for their soul. Yes, we can get the needs we need. We can go to Publix and we can find a job and we can work. We can get those provisions. But I tell you one thing we can't get. We can't get the spiritual provisions that we need on our own. The only way we can get them is through God, through the Word of God, and doing what God would have us to do. You see, people try to dig deeper into sin, and they try to make things what they want. And this is what the nation of Israel did. They literally, what they did was became up with some false ways of adopting man-made religion. They try to fit the emptiness in their heart. They try to fill it with money, good times, friends, drugs, alcohol, and other things. But I'm going to tell you today, like the songwriter wrote, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can make you whole. What they need today and what lost people need today, they're just like the children of Israel. They're wandering through the wilderness and they're hungry, not physically, but they're hungry spiritually and they don't even realize it. They need the bread of life. They need the water of life. And the only way to get it is to trust God for it and put your faith in Him. And yet today they need to have the scales removed from their eyes. The Bible said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they should believe the glorious gospel of Christ. Friend, today, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we preach, and no matter how much we tell you that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, the devil works twice as hard to blind your eyes so that you'll not see the truth that is involved in trusting Christ as your Savior. What they need is the quickening of the power of the Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "And you hath he quickened who was dead in your trespasses and sin." We find also they need to, the lost need provisions that only God can provide. So consider with me what they needed, what the nation of Israel needed. They needed food. And you know what this world needs today? They need food, and they need spiritual food. Yes, we have in this country plenty of food physically, but what we need is our spiritual needs met to depend upon God. But I want to show you what they received. God said, "Okay, in spite of your murmuring, in spite of your complaining, okay, I'm going to bless you." So look, if you would, at verse 4 through 7. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, At evening then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning then shall you see the glory of the Lord. For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us?" You know, sometimes when folks complain about a gift you give them, you just want to say, "Fooey on you. That's the last gift I'll ever give you." That's usually our feelings. And whether we say it or not, sometimes we think it. But here they are complaining, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to show you some mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy of God." Even though Israel was trying to meet a legitimate need, there was nothing wrong with them wanting food. There was nothing wrong with them wanting something to eat. There was nothing wrong with that, but what we find, God is still meeting their need. It's a picture of God's boundless grace and mercy. Israel deserved judgment and wrath. Yet God, in His mercy, in His love, in His compassion, He extended divine grace to Israel when they didn't deserve it, and they deserved something far different. Every person in this room who's ever been saved by the grace of God knows that we got something better than we deserve. Heard a lady this morning on the radio. She was taking Alan's place, and she said she was talking about heaven. She said, "I just believe." I wanted to tell her. I could tell her she didn't have to just believe that. It was true, I know. But she said, "I just believe when we get to heaven, it's going to be way more than we ever could have dreamed of or ever thought of." Well, the Bible tells us that. It said, "I have not seen or ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them to wait for Him." But I'm glad today that she recognized that. But I'm going to tell you something today. I don't deserve nothing but the wrath of God. But God, in His mercy, loved me. Every person in this room got something far better than they deserve. This Bible is clear. Whether you believe it or not, dying without Christ, you go to eternity, but you'll go to a place called hell where you'll burn forever and forever. But the Bible teaches us that God is full of grace and mercy. And we know He is because the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God displayed His grace toward us when He set conviction in our heart. I tell you, I'll never forget as a 10-year-old boy, I'm thankful for a mom and dad that made me go to church, okay? They forced me to. But I tell you, it was the Word of God that was quick and powerful and sharp and into a two-edged sword that was the dividing and the piercing asunder of my soul and spirit. And I felt God calling me, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. The gospel of salvation by grace and through faith is a message of hope to all who hear and accept the invitation to come. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart." Never doubt the grace of God toward you. I tell you today, I can say honestly, the only reason I'm here today is by the grace of God. And I'd submit to you, you're probably only here today by the grace of God and His mercy. It's the only reason you've made it this far in life. It's the only hope that you have of missing hell. There's no doubt that God loves you. But the question is today, do you love God the way He loves you? God not only extended His mercy, but God gave them manna. He responded to their needs, and He gave them exactly what they need. They said they was hungry, right? Well, He gave them something to eat. I tell you today, people without anything to eat ought not be too choosy about getting something to eat, even if it isn't what they desire to eat. But He had performed an amazing miracle, and He sent down bread from heaven, and it was called manna. And according to Psalm 78, verse 25, the psalmist called it angel's food. My grandmother used to make an angel food cake, and it was so light. I mean, it was just kind of like you just it was air almost. But it was filling. But the manna sustained Israel. Listen to this. The manna sustained Israel for 38 years. God provided as they traveled in the wilderness. It fell on the ground in sufficient quantities that they were to go out every day and get it. He told them not to go out and get any more than they needed for the next day. And if they did, of course, we know what happened with that. But He said, on the sixth day, I'm going to give you double the portion. I want you to go out. I want you to get enough for 2 days on that day, because the Sabbath day, I want you to remember and keep that as a place holy for God. And so here for this day, I know my wife, we had some leftovers from Christmas, and she took it up, put it in a stew, and put it on pot, and she gave me some other night. And she said, you like that? And I said, I like it. And I said, in fact, it's okay with me. We can just eat it every meal till we get it all gone. And I think we're going to finish it up this afternoon. I've eaten it several times. It's good what I'm talking about. I'm grateful, but I have eaten things that wasn't as good that I've had to eat along the way. But God gave them manna to sustain them. The manna was everything they needed to provide physically. It was everything they needed to satisfy their hunger and give them what they needed. God gave them exactly what they needed. But you know what? That's a picture of what Jesus Christ has given us. When He's given us exactly what we need, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Friend, Jesus don't want anybody to die in their sin. He wants everybody to be saved and trust Christ and go to heaven. And yet He provides for us. He said in John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In John 6:51, He said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. You know, notice the manna kind of speaks of Jesus. We often talk about types. But you know, the manna kind of speaks of Jesus, because He does supply our needs, right? But look, if you would, at Exodus 16, verse 14. The Bible said, When the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing as small as the hoar frost on the ground. It was small. He said, well, there's nothing small about Jesus. Well, there was when He came as a babe, and I'm not talking about physically, but the Bible said He laid aside all that He had to become a human and a man. I'm going to tell you something today. In the sight of God, we're nothing. We're nobodies. I tell you today, the Bible, I know a lot of people don't like it. Some have changed the words to at the cross, where it says, as such a worm as I. But I'm going to tell you, that's about what we are. We're just about as low and about as low as you can get, apart from the fact that we have been saved now and we've been covered by the blood and God's made us something new. It was small. It was round. This speaks of God's eternal nature. There's never an ending to it. It was white. This speaks of His sinlessness and His holy nature. God provided for us what no one else could provide. He was man without sin, born of a virgin, to provide salvation. It came at night. God sent it in the nighttime. Jesus came to a spiritual dark world that needed to hear about Christ and needed to be saved. It was misunderstood by those who found it. They called it manna. You know what manna means? What is it? That's what it means. Jesus was misunderstood by the very people he came to. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. It was sufficient for every man's need. Look at verse 17 and 18. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with the an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. What we find here, it was sufficient for every man's need, but they tried to add to it. They tried to doctor it up. And I tell you, we live in a world today, and I'm afraid a lot of churches have gotten away from the truth of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've gotten to the point to where they've tried to water it down and they've tried to make it fit. Listen, we want to attract people. We want people to come. I want people to come to church, but not at the expense of compromising the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet we need to understand today that they did that. They thought they could make it better, but they couldn't. In fact, the Bible said those who partook of the manna found it sweet and satisfying. But all those who receive Jesus will find him sweet and satisfying. Well, the greatest decision I ever made was years ago. Not only was it to be kept and passed on to others, so is the Lord Jesus Christ. So consider what they needed. I've got to move. Consider what they received. But in chapter 11 of Numbers, if you would turn there, consider how they responded. Now, God's gave them. They complained. God gave them. He blessed them. They were unthankful. But look, if you would, at Numbers chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of Bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in the meals and beat it in the mortar and baked it in the pans, made cakes of it, and the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. We find a brief look at the manna every day except the Sabbath day. But God was providing them and giving them exactly what they needed. For over 2 million people, somebody calculated this, not me, but they said to have fed them with that manna would have probably took 240 boxcar loads per day to feed 2 million people. 240 boxcar loads every day. Can you imagine? You ever sit at a track and counted 100? Imagine how long it'd take for 240. Yet God, daily, sufficiently and graciously, every day, didn't meet the needs of some on the north side and forget the south side. He didn't feed some on the west side and forget the east side. No, there was plenty for everyone to eat. And God gave them exactly what they needed. But look at verse 4. He said they were a mixed multitude. They became dissatisfied with the manna. They wanted more than God was giving them. It was long before they picked up the criticism, and they too began demanding, literally, that God provide more for them. And by the way, criticism rarely remains by itself for very long. As soon as it finds somebody criticizing, it finds somebody that's more willing to be a companion and pick up on it and join in with it. And before long, you got a mass of people that are grumbling and complaining. Then in verse 5, they look back on the days of Egypt. Man, they remembered what they had back there. They remembered what they had, but they forgot what they also had. They forgot how they were abused and mistreated and worked to death. They forgot about how the male children were murdered. Evidently, they forgot how God delivered them through 10 powerful miracles. Somewhere along the line, they forgot about how he departed the Red Sea, how he destroyed Pharaoh and his army. Israel seems to have forgotten everything that God had done for them. That's the way sin works. It blinds people to the blessings of God. The lost world is blind to the blessings of the Lord. It's blind to the food, the water, and the soul, and the air that we breathe. The lost world is blind to the fact that every day is a gift. It's a gift from the hand of God. And if you're breathing today, listen, thank God for it. And walk out to the hospital and walk in some of the rooms that I've been in the last couple of days and look at some of the people and the conditions they're in, and you'll thank God for his blessings on you. The lost world is blind to the cross and the empty tomb, but only Jesus can save you and satisfy you. Verse number 6. Israel compared the manna to nothing. They despised it. They were tired of the manna. They wanted more. They wanted meat to satisfy their lust for food. They were ungrateful for what God had given them. They could have died a lot earlier if they had not had it. But instead of the lost world being grateful today, where are we at in our nation? I'll tell you where we're at. We've taken God out of school. We've taken God out of our courtrooms. We've taken God out about everything they can, and they're still trying to get him out of everything else. And I tell you today, we're in a mess in this world because we live in a world that is ungrateful. Do you know something today? I don't know what his plans are. I do know what his plans are as far as coming back for me. But I'm going to tell you something. We deserve anything that he wants to bring on us in this world, as far as maybe suffering or what we go through. Listen, we're not exempt. And we better be thankful today for what God has done. Verse 8 relates how they tampered with it. They did everything they could to make it better. But you know what? Manna had a sweet taste when God sent it. But when they got through with it, look at the last part of verse 8. The taste of what? You drank any fresh oil lately? I ain't talking about motor oil now. I guess cooking oil. I don't know just exactly what, but I don't think that'd be too good. They messed it up. And I tell you today, our world today has messed up the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a picture of grace that the gospel is accepted as God gave it. It has the power to save sinners. It has the power to convert them and save their soul. The gospel has the power to alter a person's eternity. The gospel has the power to make a difference in the world. Yet so many today are tampering with the gospel. And they say, well, listen, all you got to do is this. All you got to do is sign a card. All you got to do is be baptized. All you got to do is try to go to church. You just got to keep the Ten Commandments. No, the only thing you got to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon his name. And he'll save your soul. And if you're trying to work your way to heaven, I'm sorry, you're not going to make it. Jesus Christ is the only way. The cults, they've taken the sin of taking the prophets of self-worship, the gurus of greed and materialism. And I'm going to tell you today, just because a man stands on TV and says he's a preacher, you better listen to what he says. Because he'll tell you something that is totally different from what the Bible says. They ground it, they beat it, they baked it, they changed it, they tampered with it. They wanted flesh, but it'll never work. And that's what the world wants today is the flesh. Oh, the Lord understand. We can live like we want to. We can do what we want to do. It'll be all right. Don't count on it. The gospel was not sent to make man feel better about himself. Sometimes people go to church and say, well, I don't feel so good. Good. I don't want you to come here and walk out of here feeling good. I don't mean that in a way that I don't want you to. I want you to be sick. But I want you to understand the truth of the Word of God. And if you're living in sin, I want you to walk out of here miserable. And if you're lost, I want you to walk out of here saved. And if you've not come to the point of knowing Christ, the gospel was not given to show man that he's a sinner in need of a Savior. What it is shown to give us that. The gospel is given to show us that he is guilty before God. He's in danger of judgment. Hellfire is real. The gospel was sent to bring man to the end of his own ability and to force him. Somebody said one day, well, man just got to pull himself up by his bootstraps. Don't count on that either. It won't work. The demands of the gospel are clear. Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Man has no part in salvation except to trust Christ as their Savior. That's why the flesh hates it. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Preachers, churches, and denomination can alter the gospel message any way you please. But brother, if you get somewhere where somebody's tampering with the gospel, you better run just as fast as you can, because the gospel never changes and never will. And then in Numbers 11, and that's the last, consider what they endured. God was not pleased by their response. He hated their request for meat. He judged them severely for their lack of gratitude in verses 31 through 35. In fact, just look you there with me. And there went forth a wind from the Lord. It brought quails from the sea, and then let them fall by the camp. As the day journey on the side, and as it was the day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, were 2 cubits high above the face of the earth. The people stood up on that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered quails. And they gathered gathered 10 homers, and they spread them abroad for themselves round about. God did provide, but it carried a high price. See, you can have another plan if you want to. God, I've always said this. God sometimes will give you what you want. I remember a fellow by the name of Tim Lee years ago preached a message. I'll never forget it. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. And I'm going to tell you something today. There's a lot of people get what they want, but they lose what you have. Now today, I don't know what your plan is, but there's only one way to heaven. You don't have to receive Jesus. That's your decision. You don't have to be satisfied with Him. You can modify the gospel any way you wish. I can't control that. But know this, everything you try will fail in the end, and you'll face the almighty judgment of God. There's only one way to avoid God's judgment. You must believe in the gospel. He's the bread of life. He's the water of the soul. He's the shelter from the wrath of God. And by the way, not everybody in Israel was rejecting God and God's provision. Not everybody. And I'm thankful today that there's still in this world some good people that still believe God, still trust God, and still serve God. But if you're here today and you're lost, God's offering you something a whole lot better than fruitcake, a new pair of bedroom slippers. He's offering you the opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. He's offering you the opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him by faith. He's offering you life. God extends His grace to you today. My question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you grateful? Are you going to refuse it and reject it? I think if somebody would have brought me a gift from Christmas and give it to me, I don't think I would ever refuse it. Well, just according to something really bad, but I'm, you know what I'm saying. I would accept it graciously, and I'd thank them for their kind thought. Jesus today offers salvation. He's calling you to come, but today the decision is yours. Are you thankful for the gift? Have you rejected it? Have you received it? And if you've received it, are you satisfied with it? Because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. Thank You for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for the greatest gift that this world's ever seen, the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Father, today I pray that You'd help us. Lord, I don't know the circumstances. I don't know the hearts of the people that are here. I don't know what they might be going through, what they're experiencing, and I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. But there's one thing I know. Lord, salvation is to whosoever will, let him come, drink the water of life freely, where he'll never thirst again. Father, I pray today that You'd help us to understand it, to receive You, to believe You, and to trust You. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.